And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you. Allison Lucan is here.
Hello.
And we kind of finally sort of have some news, Allison.
Taylor Swift's new album is coming out.
Wow. Whose new album is coming out? Let me first get to this, because I hate to pimp our own product. No, I don't. But the Blue Jackets fan survey is up on the Athletic website right now.
Yes.
Last check, we had 1,236 responses. Which, wow, is good. That you can form a lot of interesting input from that. And we're going to let it go until early next week and sort of write a piece off of what the results mean and how interesting they are. But there's 27 questions. I would have preferred 25, but they were just so damn good we couldn't take two of them away. But hop on there and give it a look and weigh in if you would. I think it'll be fun for you. I promise you it's so much easier than the trivia question, which was a real beast back in May. This one, you can't be wrong with this one. It's your opinion. So, Allison, let's do a little skit here for the people. We like to do skits sometimes. We're gonna recreate how the negotiations went between the players and the owners. Now, the owners went to the players and asked for, they don't do sheepishly well. The owners don't, but they asked for a little something give back on the CBA and the memorandum of understanding that the two sides reached just months ago. And it kind of went like this. I'll be the owner, you be the players. Allison, can I have some of that money back that I promised you?
No.
Okay. I'm glad we were able to clear that hurdle. And now we'll move on to other things. That's kind of how it went. The owner said, we'd like a little bit back. And the player said, no, not unless you're going to do this, this, and this. So they move on. One hurdle sort of cleared out of the way anyways. The other thing that they have to figure out is how they want to formulate this season and when they can start. Now, we talked about this, Allison. The big challenge for these guys right now, anybody can make a schedule. Anybody can guess how many games they should play. The tough part for them is going to be how to play in the midst of this pandemic. And what are your thoughts on that? Because that's the big one still, right?
For sure. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. There's been some ideas floated around. Are they going to try and minimize travel? For example, fly in the morning of. They have historically flown out after a game. They'll still need hotels, just, you know, for their day planning and resting and meetings and such. But will that change? how will they protect themselves even being on a chartered flight? You know that there's going to be staff on that flight. You know, how are those people protected? It can mimic a little bit of a bubble, but as we have seen with other sports, namely the NFL, you're still going to be coming in contact with risk. Yeah. And so it's going to be very interesting. And it's going to be interesting to see what the rules become about rescheduling and canceling. We're seeing that effect in sports all over the place too. So who's to say how this truly shakes out in terms of number of games and schedule?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge challenge. Full marks to the league for pulling off the bubble. It wasn't perfect. It couldn't be perfect. But it was it went about as well as anybody could have anticipated. Be curious to see how they do it now. If they needed a bubble then, and the virus is so much worse than it was then, is so much worse now than it was then, I they're going to have to do something significant. They want to play 56 games. You see how the divisions have been broken, and we'll get to that in a second. But I've heard too of maybe. I guess if you have multiple bubbles, at some point they cease to be bubbles. But if you put a cluster of teams in one pod and have them play against each other for a week or so at a time and then move on to the next pod, so things like that have been discussed too. One thing we should work in here, and it doesn't really mean all that much right now, but as of today, the understanding is that the Blue Jackets, per Ohio law, Columbus law would be applicable as well, would be allowed to play in Nationwide Arena as long as there are no fans. And there would obviously be many, many more requirements to that. So it is possible, you know, you look at San Jose and you look at what Northern California, San Francisco area, basically the 49ers left and they've set up camp in Arizona now. Because they were not able to play in California. You can't imagine the San Jose Sharks would be able to play. So some teams, based upon their state situation, may not be able to play. Columbus, at this point, appears to be a team that would be able to play. Quickly, some dates as they're kind of kicking about right now. The start of training camp for teams that did not make the bubble, I think there were seven of them, would be December 28th. It's a 3 or 4 day head start. The Blue Jackets and other bubble teams would celebrate New Year's Day with the start of training camp, and then the season. That could be a slow start for a lot of guys. The season then would start on January 13. They hope to get 56 games in. Allison, thoughts on all of that?
Well, that New Year's Day camp start is kind of a kick in the delicate spaces.
Yes.
That's always been something to see if the coach is going to make the team come in that day. Even though there may not be large celebrations this year, I'm sure people would enjoy celebrating with their families. But the dates seem to make sense, I guess. I mean, I'm sure that those teams that didn't make the playoffs wanted even more time.
Yep.
Right? I mean, look at how long they've been off. But this all falls in line with what has happened historically and what we kind of presumed would happen, less preseason games, which I'm sure is a cause for celebration for many. I am curious to watch, while we're talking about at the NHL level, I am curious to watch how camps go, because we're hearing, you know, smaller camps, fewer players. When we look at the trickle-down effect to the smaller leagues, how are we feeding the development? I think of a player like Trey Fix-Wolanski, for example. You know, how are these guys going to get their touch, their looks? The long-term effects of this in many ways are more compelling to me than what's going to happen this season.
Yeah. And we're not even really talking about what the AHL might be able to do.
Right, exactly.
I think there are some East Coast leagues, believe it or not, East Coast League teams actually playing already.
Wow.
And there are like 8 teams that have already canceled the season.
Right, right.
Which is, gotta love the coast. But along with these, this is all still some news from this week. The Athletic and TSN's Pierre LeBrun broke out what the divisions would look like. Because there's going to have to be a Canada-only division. Because the travel across the border is either impossible or at least requires a quarantine. So that's not exactly feasible. So all of Canada goes into one division, which is probably a lot of people in Canada are thinking, that's the way it should be. Let's just have seven teams in this league. This would be ideal. But in order to do that, so teams like Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa are basically coming out of the East and going into all Canada. So the divisions have been switched around a little bit. The Blue Jackets, and this is tentative, not signed off just yet, but it sure looks this way, would be in a division. This thing needs a name. Carolina, Chicago, the Blue Jackets, Detroit, Florida, Minnesota, Nashville, Tampa Bay. Now, you've got teams, you're losing teams from the Metro. The Blue Jackets are losing a lot of teams from the Metro, six of them. The Devils, Islanders, Rangers, Flyers, Pittsburgh, and Washington, all out of the Blue Jackets division for this year. That's a pretty radical change. They're gaining three teams from the Atlantic. Detroit, Florida, and good friends Tampa Bay come into the division. And they're gaining from the West, Chicago, Minnesota, and Nashville. Now, if those teams sound familiar, in the case of Chicago and Nashville, add Detroit to that list, that's sort of the old Central getting back together again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we've got some friends there, some familiar foes certainly. But again, that Blue Jackets division tentatively discussed for this season would be Carolina, Chicago, the Blue Jackets, Detroit, Florida, Minnesota, Nashville, and Tampa Bay. Allison, when I rattle those teams off, and I know a lot's changed and a lot changes from year to year, the only team there that scares me is Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I think that's the softest division in 2021 based on paper. And I wonder how you feel about the Blue Jackets' chances in that division.
Well, you know who I'm going to call out because I like them, even though you don't ever give them the time of day.
Don't even say it.
You know what I'm going to say because I'm correct in that Carolina is also a threat in my estimation. However, I agree. I like this division for the Blue Jackets. I think there's a lot of pluses. I think it's going to be really interesting for people who've been around for the long haul. You know, that the Nashville rivalry, at least from the Columbus perspective, was a very rich one. And it's different now, but now there's some ties between the organizations. You've got Ryan Johansson, Seth Jones, things like this. So Dan Hynote is joining the organization there.
Todd Richards.
So Todd Richards, that's right, as well. It's been so long. I forget all these moves. But I like it. I think that this is a division where the Blue Jackets can control their own destiny, perhaps more than ever before. Honestly, I think it's great that they're in the same division as Tampa Bay because those two teams do not like each other.
Right. Yeah. And it's personal.
As much as we talk about Metro rivalries, and I think they will return, this is a little budding one right here, right now, in my opinion. So I like the division. I think they have a good shot with Carolina and Tampa Bay being solid contenders.
Two other little wrinkles here. Minnesota came into the league with the Blue Jackets, both teams celebrating their 20th anniversary. Pretty cool that they would play a lot of games head-to-head. And it could be, we don't know how the bubbles are going to work or if there will be bubbles. I don't think it would be a shock if these teams played just inside their division or overwhelmingly within their division to keep the massive travel from happening because these were mostly put together geographically.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is Florida. There's a lot of Blue Jackets in Florida.
Yes, there are.
Including assistant general manager Bill Zito, who left the Blue Jackets this offseason or whatever the hell that was. Bobrovsky's there, of course. Wennberg is there. I believe New Tavara is there.
Yes. Yes.
There's some interesting there. That would be really interesting too. And I wouldn't mind setting up shop in Florida if we're allowed to, to travel. How about it? 7 days in Florida in March. I'm in. One thing here, we're talking about the Blue Jackets and their chances in that division. This is one of those things that you look at. I look at anyways, over the arc of this team's history, only twice have the Blue Jackets finished higher than fourth place in their division.
Wow.
And that was in 2005-06 when they weren't very good, but the Central was awful.
Right.
And they finished with 74 points and somehow were third in the Central. Again, the division was brutal that year. And in 2016-17, the best regular season the Blue Jackets have ever had, 108 points, they finished third that year. So, yeah, that would be an interesting look. Allison, would you name the divisions for just one year? COVID 1, 2, 3, and 4?
I mean, yes, I would name them because you're going to have to call them something. However, there is a version of this world where the NHL fails to do that and just random organic names start popping up
in
the hockey world. I would suggest that it would be wise of the league to come up with what they would like to refer to these entities to. It helps record books, right? You're going to have to say the winner of this division is so and such.
Yeah, right.
But who's to say whether the names that are truly used come from the league driving that or if it just happens because people need names that make sense to them.
Yeah, it's like numbers on jerseys. At some point, you got to have. Right. At some point, you got to have a marker. All right, let's take a short break here, and we'll be back on the other side. You're listening to Front and Nationwide.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, so Allison, that is the gist of the news this week as the NHL is trying to figure out how it can come back. Again, those dates, January 1st, these are tentative, but what they're working on now, January 1st for the start of training camp for teams, including the Blue Jackets that made the playoffs or the bubble, however you want to look at it, and January 13th to start the season. The hope is to play 56 games, and they've reconfigured the divisions to make it happen. One other thing we want to get to here, and this is always a fun topic, and it's starting to come in. I've resisted the urge to talk too much about this for so long because it can change so dramatically. But we are now one offseason away from the Seattle Kraken joining the league. In fact, interestingly, Seattle has one more payment to make to the league. And they have kept up with their payments despite this awful downturn to our world. But when they make that payment, and it's expected to be on time, they are fully fledged as a member of this team. They can start of this league. They can start attending board of governors meetings. They can start making trades. All of this stuff comes to life. But when this season ends, which we're just trying to get it started, but when this season ends, we'll start to see the Seattle Kraken emerge. I was going to say slowly emerge from the water as the mythical beast that they are. But that's how they'll come to life. And they're, of course, going to gain the bulk load of their players through the expansion draft. If you remember back in 2017, and how could a Blue Jackets fan forget this? The Blue Jackets were in a god-awful spot. Is that the right adjective?
Yes.
Yeah.
It might be too kind, actually.
It might be too kind. They had Alexander Wennberg coming off a 59-point season. They had Josh Anderson, who looked like a man-child, an emerging man-child. They had goaltender Jonas Korpisalo, who they figured to be a future number one in this league. As we said in our story earlier this week, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Wennberg didn't exactly pan out, but I think they were right on those other two. And even if, you know, hindsight is our gift and our benefit, sure. I think it's foolish to look back on that and not understand where the Blue Jackets were coming from as it related to Wennberg. I don't think anybody at that time thought that they should have kept Wennberg over over William Karlsson. And you may be lying to yourself and others if you say that you did. But they bent over in multiple ways to keep Vegas from plucking a young, talented player off their roster. They agreed that they would take William Karlsson, who everyone thought was a third-line checking center. And, it was a bad weekend from them because they had to give up so much to spare themselves. Allison, it's nothing like that this time.
It's so much better. And in, if you believe in karma, here it is, folks. You had to pay the piper so much before. And in a way, I think it's really an asset to the Blue Jackets for the reason that we are seeing, in my estimation, such a talented front office being assembled there that also has the lessons learned. Now, of course, so do the other teams from Vegas's expansion draft, right? So there's some advantages and some really smart things that Seattle can try to do. And so I think it's really important that Columbus doesn't have to try and strike some sort of crazy deal to keep what they want this year, because I think it would be a lot harder to do with this being your negotiating partner, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it's interesting because this has nothing to do with Seattle's front office, because I think what they're doing has a chance to be really impressive. I just think it's going to be so much more difficult for them because a lot of teams learned lessons
for sure
with Vegas that they are going to apply to this. I think Vegas was able to really pounce on the fact that no one had been through expansion in 20 years, which means a lot of the people in charge had never gone through it. And general managers are very, very partial to their own players. And Vegas exposed that in a way that I think people have wisened up. They've also had a head start to not give out so many no-move contracts, to sort of shape their picture so that it works well looking ahead to this summer. The one thing I think is really interesting is if you go back to 2017, if the Vegas Knights had come in to the league a year earlier, the Blue Jackets would not have had to protect Anderson, Wennberg, or Korpisalo. And their protected list would have been just awesome. That got moved back a year from when people thought it might actually happen. And the Blue Jackets, because of that extra year, were really, really in a bad spot. You fast forward to now, if Seattle, and there was talk that Seattle might join it for 2021, if Seattle came in this year, Columbus would have been forced to protect Foligno, Dubinsky as part of their forward group. And that's not something they really would want to do. So as bad as, in multiple ways we can say this, as bad as it was last time, 2017, it is good for the Blue Jackets this time. Everything falls into place just perfectly. Let's go through some of the names here, because you can protect either seven forwards, three defensemen, and a goalie, or eight players in total, that's defensemen and forwards, and a goalie. Now, the only reason you would do that second one, 8-1, is if you have more than three defensemen you feel are imperative to protect. And as much as Columbus likes their defense, I don't think that applies to them. I think they are, once again, a 7-3-1 team. The best news in all of this, and there's lots of favorable news for the Blue Jackets, is their goaltending, Allison, where Elvis Merzlikens does not require protection. So Seattle can't take him if they wanted to. Where Matisse Kivlenieks does qualify as a player that Columbus can expose and meet its requirement. You have to have one goalie to expose. And so Kivlenieks is made available. Merzlikens is exempt. And Korpisalo is protected, and the Blue Jackets' goaltending position remains intact, no problems.
Yeah, I mean, and this is an organization that, you know, going back to this kind of swell of success, built from the net out, they built a strong pipeline, and now they're protecting that. It's a massive, massive strength, and to be able to protect the two key defensemen, you know, as you mentioned, I don't think they need that third spot. that really sets up this core nicely, particularly when you look at how this team is built right now.
Yeah, that's right. And Jarmo Kekalainen is not prone to emotional outbursts or even acknowledging great things that may or may not happen. His quote on this was, "That's a big one for us," about the goalies. And it is. Two other things we should set up here, because it really impacts both sides of the ice. Nick Foligno and David Savard will be UFAs after this season. Now, you are correct to say that the Blue Jackets could sign them to extensions at any point now. But there's a reason for them not to do that. And that is, Foligno, you cannot protect a UFA. And Seattle can't take them as their player from your group. Seattle can sign them, and they have a 48-hour window to talk to those players before the rest of the league does. But I don't think either one of those players wants to leave Columbus. And I think Columbus can work out something with them where they mutually have agreed that they want to stay put. But let's not be in too big of a hurry to sign that contract until after the expansion draft. That way we don't have to spend... we don't have to spend one of our protectable slots on you. Now, the league doesn't like this, Allison, but that's how the league wrote the rules. And there's really no way around this. San Jose was famously used this trick in 2017 with Vegas. They kept Joe Thornton, they kept Marlowe, and then signed them after the expansion draft, and it opened up slots for them to protect more players. So Savard, Foligno, don't be alarmed if this gets close to free agency this summer and they're not signed to extension. There's a reason they would not be. So we look at the forwards with that in mind. And here's how it goes. The Blue Jackets can protect Cam Atkinson, one. Oliver Bjorkstrand, two. Max Domi, three. Pierre-Luc Dubois, Boone Jenner, 4-5. Gustav Nyquist and Eric Robinson, 6-7. Texier, Liam Foudy, Emil Bemstrom are exempt, as are all of those top prospects over in Russia. I'm not going to name them all, but all the Russians are exempt. So the Blue Jackets that would be exposed as of today are Cole Sherwood, Kevin Stenland, Nathan Gerby, Ryan McGinnis, Calvin Thurkoff, Cliff Pooh. Now, I'm not naming every possible player who'd be exposed, but those are the guys sort of on the NHL bubble, guys who have played games in Columbus, who would be exposed. Now, you don't want to say goodbye to Stenland necessarily, but again, Allison, this is a much different situation than last year or last time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you know, I would suggest at the risk of drawing wrath that, you know, should this team upgrade their forward core, which we've talked about before, if Eric Robinson becomes available, that's not debilitating to your organization either, if that's the player that Vegas picks. So not only is it a nice setup now, but it's a nice setup should they acquire some additional talent, in my opinion.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see where this goes, because if Jarmo does acquire help, and we think he wants to, he's not, I can't imagine it's going to be a guy on an expiring contract. Then they've got a tough decision, like you said. Is it Robinson automatically?
Right.
Or is it maybe an older guy, say Nyquist? Not that you would rather lose, but that Seattle might be less likely to pick.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because they may not want contract. And Gustav Nyquist is one of those guys, too. You don't know who else they've got at left wing, or really at wing. And they may not want to pay a guy $5.5 million if he's not for sure going to be in their top six as an expansion team. But that's no matter how confusing any of that gets, it's so much better than it was last time. We look on defense, and Allison, I got a little bold here. I hope I didn't step out of line. I'm just assuming. We're never supposed to assume. I'm going to assume Seth Jones and Zach Werenski will be protected by the team.
I feel that's a safe bet, yes.
Thank you. Okay. I think Vladislav Gavrikov makes sense as the number three. I don't know who else it would be if Savard is an expiring UFA.
Right. Agreed.
So there's the Blue Jackets protecting Jones, Werenski, and Gavrikov. Now they've got a youngster, Andrew Peak, who's going to be a lineup regular this year, we assume. He is exempt. Jake Christensen, who they are high on, signed as a free agent this year. He's exempt, as is prospect Tim Burney. And I mention them because they're going to be in North America this year, likely with AHL Cleveland whenever they get going. There are two minor leaguers, Clend Denning and Gavin Bayreuther, who are pending UFAs as well. So while they're not on the level of a Savard, they technically fall into the same category. So that leaves Dean Kukan, Gabriel Carlson, and Scott Harrington, who I can't – Scott Harrington has been here for forever.
Yes.
And he still has 2 years on his contract. He may not play the most games, but he's going to be top 10 for longest-serving Blue Jackets.
Crazy.
Which is amazing. Anyways, Kukan, Carlson, Harrington exposed as defensemen. And I kind of feel the way about Kukan as I do about Robinson in terms of that's the kind of guy where if you lose him to expansion, you don't want to lose him. But it's not, you can live with that because that's what expansion is.
Yes. And look, I've always been high on that player, even when he wasn't seeing regular time. But to your point, I agree, is that everyone's going to lose something. If that's what this team is going to lose, that is not the worst outcome in the world. And honestly, Seattle gets a good player, quite frankly. And that's the name of the game for them. So there you go.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And if you're the Blue Jackets, it's really good news. Again, Yarmo makes a deal and acquires a player with a long-term contract. And the science of this changes a little bit. But it's exposing, in that situation, it's exposing Robinson or perhaps somebody else. It's not having to beg Seattle and throw all kinds of stuff at Seattle to get them to do this instead of that. They're kind of in the driver's seat with this. In fact, I would say as it stands right now, they're one of the NHL teams in the best position to not lose much at all through expansion.
For sure.
That's all good news.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Allison, anything else we need to get to?
I mean, Ohio State hockey is trying to have seasons both on the men and women's side. The women, unfortunately, their opponents, first the Buckeyes themselves and now their opponents, have experienced some COVID-related cancellations. The men are struggling to find their footing. This is a pretty big change in their roster from last year to this, but those two teams are trying to keep at it, so something to watch, and they're getting a lot more airtime. If those are games that people want to check out, follow on Twitter, check out Big Ten Network for the men, and you can see some college hockey of local teams as well.
Yeah. One thing we should know, we just talked about Seattle as an expansion team in the NHL. I think a lot of people in Columbus are upset that there's not going to be the big game Saturday, Ohio State, Michigan. But in fact, there is going to be
a very big game.
Very big game. The MLS Cup.
Yes.
It is. And Columbus is back in the MLS Cup playing the Seattle Sounders. I think the Blue Jackets are by no means a soccer expert. I think Seattle's, well, they're the defending champion, so they're probably the favorite here.
Yes.
But this should be a hell of a game. It's enough to make me want to put a scarf on and watch some soccer on Saturday. Are you in, Allison?
Oh, we are already watching. We went and got our ingredients for our dinner that night. We've planned it out. And I just think it's wonderful. You know, everyone hopefully does know the story by now of this fan base rallying together to save their team. And with a new stadium coming next season, this is going to be one of the final games ever played in what was the first MLS stadium in the United States, and championship at that. I just think sometimes these stories do turn out to be nice all around, and this is one of those times.
Yeah, and what a send-off that would be for Mapfre Stadium.
Exactly.
Before the Crew move into their opulent place downtown near Nationwide next year. So best of luck to the Crew. Certainly best of luck to all the Crew fans, many of whom, of course, are also Blue Jackets and Ohio State fans. It's a great sporting city. It'd be great to see another championship come home to Columbus. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will be back with you next week. Until then, take care of yourselves. Thanks so much to the great author of our theme music, David Cook, and thanks to our producer this week, Mr. Jeff Domet, who's sitting in for Danielle for the week. We will talk to you all in a week. Take care.